Good evening. Let's all stand together and we'll sing hymn number 45. Hymn number 45. Ye servants of God, your master proclaim and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name all victorious of Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious, he rules over all. God ruler on high, almighty to save, and still he is nigh, his presence we have. The great congregation his triumph shall sing, ascribing salvation to Jesus our King. Salvation to God, who sits on the throne. Let all cry aloud and honor the Son. The praises of Jesus the angels proclaim. Fall down on their faces and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore and give him his right. All glory and power and wisdom and might, all honor and blessing with angels above, and thanks ever ceasing and infinite love. Thank you and be seated. Hymn number 62. Number 62. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wandering eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife
for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days, adored and magnified.
Let's look with me in Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Read the first 12 verses. Psalm 33, the first 12 verses. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise ye the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the Lord, word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth the righteous, he loveth righteousness in judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the wicked, the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Oh, our great, blessed, and glorious God. Oh, Lord, it says here, you measure the waters in a heap. When all the oceans were filled, you just put them out like a big heap out of your hand. Filled up the oceans, filled up the seas. And oh, Lord, how great, how glorious, how terrible is your judgments in their past finding out. But Lord, we come into your holy presence, blessing you, blessing you, blessing you, that you give us another opportunity, the privilege of being able to gather around the Word of God and the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these days, saints, that's gathered out here tonight. God bless them. Lord, encourage them. Use the word to be a strength and encouragement to them, to build them up in their most holy faith. And Lord, we pray for those who are not with us through your providence, through sickness, whatever may be. But Lord, we know that there are those who could not be here, would be here if they could. But Lord, we pray for your mercies. Oh God, your mercies. Oh, your mercies endureth forever. And they're abundant, oh God, so abundant. And give an abundance of grace, an abundance of grace, an abundance of mercy, abundance of pity towards your dear people that's in such a dire, dire situation. And Lord Jesus, we pray for our preacher brethren that stands tonight. Lord, bless them. Those who preach the gospel of the grace of God, oh Lord, use them. Bless our fellowship together. Bring glory to yourself. Have mercy upon our lost loved ones. And we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 46. Number 46. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. Glory to God, and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven.
That's a good song, Leighton. Really good songs, good songs. Look with me back in Psalm 33. I want to say a few things from this psalm. I hope it'll be a blessing. But a title of my message is right in the first verse, Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul told the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. You righteous, the only people who can rejoice in the Lord is people that's been made righteous. If you've not been made righteous, you can't rejoice in the Lord. You got nothing to rejoice about. But oh my, and I tell you, the reasons for us to rejoice, God's people to rejoice, is innumerable. And when it says, shout for joy in the Lord, you know, our joy, and joy is something that I experience quite a bit when I'm preaching, especially when I laugh a lot, and that's when that joy, I mean joy, just fills my heart. And joy is something that is not natural to us. Love, you know, love, people after happiness, but joy is something that only God can really actually give you. The source of our joy is not this world, that's for sure. It's not this world. The source of joy is not in ourselves, but the source of our joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He said, my joy I give unto you. And you know, and when it says there in the next verse, it praise the Lord with a harp. So you know, if we had music, we'd praise the Lord with that. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. And then it says also here, sing a new song. Sing a new song. You know why we sing a new song? Because we've been made new creatures. Now we sung songs for years, and they never really meant a whole lot until God saved us by His grace. Then the songs became altogether different. And I tell you what, when we sing a new song unto our God, and I tell you what, when we get to glory, sure enough will be a new song, because we've been made new creatures. And what we sang to Him, you know, we sang songs and psalms and hymns and make melody in our heart before the Lord. But you talk about a new song. God makes these songs, you know, as many times we heard them, there's times that He makes them brand new to us. But we sing a new song because we're new creatures. And as new creatures, we enjoy the things of the Lord. I mean, we enjoy the Word of God. We enjoy the things of the Lord. We enjoy gathering together. We enjoy fellowship. And I enjoyed the weekend, last weekend, very much. Had some wonderful time with some wonderful people. But let me give you some reasons why we rejoice in the Lord. First of all, we rejoice in Him for His Word, because of His Word. Look what it says in verse 4. For the Word of the Lord is right. The Word of the Lord is right. I tell you, you know, and when you talk about something, God's right in everything that He does. But His Word, every word that He spoke is right. I know that folks like to find fault with it. They like to say God's unrighteous. They like to say God is unfair. They like to say all kinds of things about Him. But I tell you, the Word is the only thing that, you know, the Word of the Lord is right. And the only thing that will make us right is God's Word. We can't be right without the Word of God. We can't be right with God. We can't be right with ourselves. We can't be right with one another. We can't be right nowhere without the Word. And oh my. And it's the Word. And you know, we look to the Word for our faith, what we would believe. And we look to the Word for how we're supposed to live in this world. We don't look to the preacher. We don't look to the church. We don't look to a denomination. We look to the Lord. And I tell you, it's the Word to whom we look. Now I want you to look with me over here in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. You know, it tells us that by His own will begat He us with what? The Word of truth. That's how He got us again. That's how He begat us, with the Word of truth. There's no other way in the world. You know, we wouldn't know truth if God hadn't taught us truth and begat us with the Word of truth. And oh, listen to what He said here in verse 7 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord, and if you look in the margin, it says the doctrine of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What God has to say, mark it down, is sure. And then tell you, you know what it does? It takes simple people like us and makes us wise. Makes us wise. And look what he says now. And the statutes of the Lord are right. And look what they do when that happens. It rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. God, when He commands something, it's pure. And He opens our eyes and gives us eyes to see how precious His light is and His commandments are. And oh my, David said it like this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And oh, the Word of God is also with power. The Word of God's right. Everything God says is right. And all His works are done in truth. Oh, the Word of God's made with power. Look what it says in verse 6. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made. You reckon? You talking about God, He spoke and the heavens came into existence. That's how powerful God's Word is. I've heard once, yea, twice, that all power belongs unto the Lord. We heard it when we was unbelievers, and then we heard it by the Holy Ghost. It says that all power belongs unto the Lord. All authority belongs unto Him. And I tell you what, when God said, this is how powerful His Word is, how right His Word is. When God said,
it was done.
Oh, all God's got to do anything for anybody, just speak. And you know, when God wanted to communicate with men, and when God wanted to come and speak to men, really speak to them, you know what he done? He made his word incarnate. The word of God came in flesh. The word of God came and was made flesh. And God sent his son to communicate with us. And that's why he communicates with us with his word. He communicates with us with what he has to say in his word. And I've never, God helping me, I'd never, ever put a question mark on God's word anywhere. Would you? Oh, no, I wouldn't dare do that. And oh, the heavens were created by it. And you know, sir, who was the creator? Oh, Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things made. By him all things were created. Visible or invisible, thrones or dominions, principalities or power. And not only did he create everything, but everything consists by him, upheld by him. And you know how God upholds things? By the word of his power. That's how he upholds. You know how he upholds us? By the word of his power. Upholds the world by the word of his power. Oh my. And I'll tell you something else about his word, and it's always the word of the Lord is right. When we're tried, God said he sent his word and tried them. And I tell you what, you know what tries us? The word of God will try us. I mean, it'll try us. It'll try our profession. It'll try our standing. It'll try our hearts. It'll try our understanding. It'll try our profession. It'll try us in every possible way you can be tried. I remember one time, you know, in one of the conferences we had, a preacher preached, and oh my goodness, he preached close. I mean, he preached, and I mean, it was just right on the money. He preached on the method of grace. And after the service was over, a woman said this. He said, I guess he don't want us to have anything in this world but Christ. She got upset because he got too close to it. You know, that's what the word does. It hems you up. And that's what it's for, to hem you up to nobody but Christ. And God sends his word to try us. Do you really believe the word? Do you really believe that God saved you? Do you really believe that salvation's by grace? Do you really believe that you're utterly and absolutely dependent on Christ? Oh, the word of God will try us. And I tell you, God said this, the incorruptible seed of God endureth forever and abideth forever, his word. And then look what about his word. So his word is right, and then look about his works there in verse 4. And all his works are done in truth. His word's right. Everything he says is right. Wouldn't dare say anything's not right. And then all of his works are done in truth. Is there any imperfection, any flaw in anything God's ever done? Is there a flaw, an imperfection in any work that God Almighty himself has done? Oh, was his works right when he destroyed the earth and only saved 8 souls? Was his work right when he sent his son into this world and put him on a cross to be shamed and humiliated? Oh, is there any imperfection in the flaw in the work of God? Oh, no. How about Christ? Any imperfection, any flaw in the work that Christ did? His works are done in truth. Oh my. Is anything that they ever did that's not right? Everything our Lord Jesus Christ did, everything God did, everything that he's did in this world is done in truth. Done in truth. Oh my. Every wall that God establishes has got a perfect plumb to it. Every arrow he's ever shot goes true and goes straight. Every work he ever accomplished, everything he said to do. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to declare from the beginning, I'm going to declare the end, and I'm going to make it go straight from the beginning all the way to the end. And ain't nobody going to know what I do from one day to the next until they live with it. Oh, my. Oh, his works in creation. That was all done in truth. People make fun of God creating. Oh, they make fun of God creating. They say there's no way. They said, you know, they got all these here satellites out there taking pictures of all this stuff way out, way, way out, light years from America, from the earth. And they look at all that stuff and say, listen, there's something happened back there to make all this come into existence. Well, all that there existed because God put it there. They say, how many galaxies? How many galaxies you reckon God created? How many? Listen, God made the earth and the fullness thereof as it belongs to him. And I tell you what he created perfectly. The only thing wrong with this world right now in this earth is because man is sinful. You take man off of this earth and this earth would be a wonderful place. It's man that messes it up. Huh? Oh my. And salvation. All of salvation's done in truth. Bless his holy name. God, listen. We are saved as much by the justice of God as we are by the grace of God. We're saved. You know, our salvation, when God done it, he done it in a just and a right way. He done it in a way that would honor him and honor his blessed son. And no wonder he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I'm a just God. I'm just. But I'm a Savior too. Now, let me, you know, there's so many things in the Old Testament that would show you he's a just God. When Adam sinned in the garden, he was a just God when he put him out of the garden. Oh, but then he's a Savior when he slew the animals and covered Adam's nakedness. And when he said, I'm going to destroy the earth, that's just God. And when the rain fell on that ark, that's a just God. But oh my, what a Savior in that ark. And oh, how many times has that happened? Solomon, Gomorrah, justice, just God. But Lot, he's a Savior. He's a Savior. Oh my, just God and a Savior. And oh, to be saved by grace is not to be saved at the expense of truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, so his works are done in truth and his word is right. And then look here in verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That loveth righteousness can also be loving kindness. And the earth is full of his goodness. Where in the world can you look and not see his goodness and not see his mercy? Where can you look and not see the goodness of God and the mercy of God? Huh? Is there any place you can look in this world not see God's goodness? I mean, all you got to do is just look at yourself. Look at yourself. Oh, look at yourself. Oh, how can we measure the goodness of God? How can we measure the loving kindness of God? That God, we were in dead, trespass sin, lived in darkness. And God in goodness, his goodness led us to repentance. His goodness led us to Christ. His goodness keeps us. Oh my, oh he's good. A phrase that I don't like it at all, is the good Lord. I don't like that phrase at all. God is good. Yes, he is. And the scripture says, God his goodness. Oh my. And oh, look at yourself. Look in your home. Who ever thought we would have such wonderful homes, comfortable homes to live in, wonderful chairs to sit in, good food to eat at our tables, wonderful beds to lay down in, Who would ever thought that we would have been? This is the goodness of God that done us. Oh my. And what about your children? Your children, if it wasn't for the mercy and goodness of God, we'd already had children gone to hell. And it's the goodness of God that's keeping them out. And I tell you, I heard somebody say, my mama prayed for me, and I got saved because how my mama prayed. And I lived right, now. My mama prayed for me, and God answered all her prayers. Listen, if you ever pray for your children, the only person to do anything for them is Christ. And that's who we pray for. Lord, you do something for them. I can't do nothing. I can tell them the truth, and I can tell them I love them. And I can take them to hear the gospel. But, oh, Lord, you're the only one that can do anything for them. Huh? I heard a song here recently. It said, if I end up being lost, it'll be nobody's fault but my own. And that's the fact. Oh, my, with the goodness of God everywhere we look. When your children come to visit you, they see the goodness of God in you, in your home. The goodness of God have wanted you to come hear the gospel. Oh, the goodness of God. Oh, my. Look at your brethren. Oh, God in his goodness gave us all these blessed brethren. I've got brethren all over the United States. Oh, how good is God to give us one another. Give us fellowship. Give us a heart to love one another and embrace one another and pray for one another. Oh, the goodness of God. Oh, my. How about your faith? Oh, how good is God to give you faith? And then how good is he to keep it alive? He gives it to you, and then he keeps it alive. He keeps it living. Oh, my. Mm. Oh, but in Christ, in our Lord Jesus Christ, that's where we see the loving kindness and goodness fully told out. When Christ came into this world, God so loved. And oh my, he so loved. Oh, God commendeth his love, his goodness toward us and his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh my, I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, you're talking about the goodness of God. God give us a Savior when we wasn't looking for one. He gave us one. And then look at not only his word and his work and his goodness, but look at his power in verse 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And this is the reason why. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He speaks, and whatever he says, it's done. And then he said, I don't want you to change. You know why nothing can ever change? Because it stands forever? Because he changeth never. His word endures forever. He don't have the ability to change. And oh my, I tell you what, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Everything God Almighty. I mean, you think about God commanding you. You know, over in Psalm, I'll look it up and maybe mention it to you Sunday. But God commanded salvation to us. He commandeth salvation. He commanded, save that soul. Save that man. Save that woman. And when he speaks like that, he commands it, and it stands fast forever. Oh, my. And I tell you, can God's word ever be made void? Can God's word ever be made void? Does this theory of evolution that we sprung from some amoeba somewhere and then all of a sudden we got to where we could crawl around a little while and then after a while we lived a few more million years and then we got to where we could get on our knees and then we got to where we could get on our feet and then we sprung along arm and here, yonder, and all. That's the most ridiculous. But will evolution make the word of God of none effect? Huh? Will atheists Oh, I don't believe God. I don't believe there's a God at all. Mark says, you know, religion's the opiate for the people. But oh my, will atheists make the word of God none effect? Because they say they don't believe he is? Is that going to make his word of none effect? Will the Pharisees and all their self-righteousness, will they make the word of God none effect, make it void? Will false professors, folks that are hypocrites, people who interpret the word of God falsely, do they make it void? He spake, it was done, and it stands fast. People have been trying to destroy the word of God since he created. And they ain't been successful yet. I don't care how many people get back and run at it. And I don't believe it. I believe in evolution. I don't care about fault, you know, about hypocrite. Listen, that ain't going to change God's word at all. I tell you, God never speaks in vain. He said, just like the rain that comes down, the snow that comes down. He said, and it don't return back. That's the way my word is. I send my word out, and it never, ever comes back to me void. Never comes back to me. It accomplishes what I meant for it to do. It does. And oh, what he promised, oh, Abraham said like this, I believe he's able to perform that he promised. Do you reckon he's able to perform what he promised? Oh, he gives power unto the faint. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. When God says live, Lazarus lives. When God says live, you're going to live, because he speaks and it's done. He commands and it stands fast. And let me give you another one real quick. I don't want to take too long. Oh my, look at his knowledge. Oh, his power. Let all the earth fear the Lord. He spake and it was done. Commanded and it stood fast. In verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. You know, I was preaching Sunday, and you know, you go through the Gospels, and you look at how many times the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rabbis and them, they all tried to tempt Christ, all tried to trip him up, all tried to find fault with him, to tempt him, and make him look like a fool. And one time they brought a woman taken in adultery and said, Moses commanded that she should be stoned. What do you say? They thought, man, we got him. He'll have to destroy Moses' law if he lets this woman go. So how's he going to let this woman go? And Moses' law commands she be stoned. Well, our Lord stooped down, wrote, raised up again, come down, raised up, that's his life. Stooped down, wrote again, and they just kept asking him, rose up and said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. So they come to him to accuse him and tempt him, kept asking him. And they all walked away. God takes man's wisdom and brings it and makes a fool out of it. And every time they come to Christ, and one time it said in Matthew 22, said they dare not ask him another question. He had made a fool out of him so many times. They said, I'm going to quit asking questions. He makes me look like a fool. And I tell you what, he makes anybody look like a fool that wants to try to show him up. Show him that he ain't got no power, no rights. Oh my. He makes the devices to be of none effect. I don't care what man comes up with. I tell you, he cannot. God's knowledge is past finding out. It's like Joseph. You know, they said, his brothers and sisters, his brother said, we're not going to have this fellow reign over us. We're going to get rid of him, just like they did Christ. We're going to get rid of him. They were going to kill him, but they said, no, let's sell him. So they sold him, and they didn't want him to reign over him because he said that they're all going to bow down to him one of these days. So they got rid of him. That was man's wisdom. That was the best they had. But what did God do with their wisdom? He said Joseph to be over everybody. What did God do with man's wisdom when they crucified Christ? He made Christ to be Lord over even the ones that crucified him. And they're going to every one see him one of these days. Oh, my. Oh, I tell you. Now our Lord Jesus Christ sits at God's right hand. And oh, they put Paul in prison, said, this is going to shut him up. He'll not be able to preach anymore. We'll shut him up, put him in prison. You know what he says? Being in prison, the word of God, he said, the gospel has prospered. The gospel went forth in more power. It was more manifest by my jail. I mean, people took the gospel and really started running with it. Really started running with it. All right. Then look here in verse 11. Look at his faithfulness. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Oh, the counsels of the Lord shall stand forever. When you talk about the counsel of the Lord, you're talking about the will of God, the purpose of God. And all you know, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. And look what it says in his thoughts of his heart to all generations. You know, God speaks in language for us to understand. You know, Christ, he showed the heart of God. He revealed the heart of God when he came. But God's here talking about his heart. And he uses things just like our heart. You know, somewhere where the emotions and the understanding and all lives. And he says, and his forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You know what David said? The Lord thinks upon me. Well, we're sitting here tonight and the Lord thinks on us. And his counsel stands for all generations. How many generations has it been? How many generations from Adam has it been? You know, I don't want to take much time, but you take a couple. They get married. They have four kids. Those four kids get married. That's eight. And those four kids, they get married. Then they have four more kids. And when you get to the, after that, you just quadruple. And next thing you know, you got a family that's so huge. And you could, you know, that's what everybody goes in genealogy from. I want to go back five generations. Find out where my kinfolk come from. Well, I'll tell you where they come from. Adam. Oh, my. I've said this. But, oh, my. His thoughts to his heart. Oh, the thought of his heart. Where does he reveal the thoughts of his heart? In his word. In his word. And it shall stand forever. You know what man's thoughts are? God said man's thoughts are only evil continually. And not only that, but his thoughts are vain. And then last one is this in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now he made us a holy nation, a peculiar people. God's people is a holy nation. And the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Oh my, how blessed are the people whom he hath chosen. And listen to this, for his inheritance. You know, he's talking about election here. Blessed is the people whom he hath chosen. Oh my. Oh, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. In the day of his power, his people are made willing. Grace wasn't an afterthought with God. It's like himself. It's eternal. It's eternal. Oh, my. He says, you know, according as he hath chosen us in Christ. When? Before he ever made the foundation of the earth. He asked Job, said, where was you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And you know what God said? He said, according as he hath chosen us in him. In Christ before the foundation of the world. And I wasn't there and you wasn't there. But our election was. No wonder he said, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. We got a lot to rejoice in. Oh, our God is so great, so glorious, and so blessed. And I tell you what, we're his because he made us his. And now we want to be his. Everybody here wants to be his. Ain't that right? Lord, here I am. Oh, I want to be yours. I want to belong to you. I want to be one of those chosen of you, loved of you, thought of you. I want to be one of them. Our Father, thank you for allowing us this wonderful time together, opening your precious word. Oh, it's such power, such glory, such comfort and assurance in it. Oh, Lord. And we're thankful that you send your word and try us. Try us. And Lord, bless this word to the hearts, the understanding, and the minds of those that are here tonight, those that are listening, and those that are watching. God bless them. Lord, bring glory to yourself through us here at Lantana Grace Church. Oh, Lord, we're not as many as we were, but Lord, you're still here. You're still in our midst. And I'm so thankful that you come, that you really come among us, and you bless us with your word. Oh, God, thank you for your word. Never be made void. It's powerful, gives life to the dead. And we praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Well, God willing, I'll see you Sunday morning. And hope you all have a blessed day tomorrow.